If you would, please turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll read verse 8, which will be my text for today. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Years ago, I was taking one of Ryan's friends home, and we were waiting to turn left at a stoplight, and a truck ran the red light and hit a car broadside. And being first in the turn lane, we saw it all. And the first thing I said to the boy was, "Do you see that light up there? What color is it?" And he replied, "Red." I said, "That's right. And it is very important we remember that it was red." Well, I took the boy home and returned back to the scene of the accident. And I told the policeman that I had seen it all, so he took my name and contact information. A couple of months later, I was contacted by the fellow that was hit, and he wanted me to give testimony. Apparently, the guy who ran the red light was claiming that it was green and was blaming the other fellow for the red. And I told him I would, and so I wrote out a deposition and gave it to him. I was a witness to certain events, and though it was in writing, I gave testimony as to what happened. All I needed to do was tell the truth. I became a witness. Dear brother and sister, our text reminds us that we are to be witnesses. As Christians, we have a duty to tell others about Jesus. We have an obligation to share the story of Christ, what He has done for us, and what He can do for them. Now, I know that witnessing for the Lord is a difficult thing to do. I have never found it to be easy. Nonetheless, it is our responsibility, and it is my objective to remind you of this task. May we give testimony. May we be a witness. And those last three words are the title of my message today, Be a Witness. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who could be with us. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would love to be here but cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We pray that you would bless them, heal them, and Lord, meet all the needs. And you've heard our requests, and but yet we come together today to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that the songs have been received to your glory, that you've heard our prayers, and now as the word goes out today, that which you've laid upon my heart to share, that God, that you would just take it by the work of your spirit into every one of our hearts, that for those of us who are saved, we might be encouraged, we might be strengthened, we might be led to witness, and Lord, empower us to that end, and let us be found faithful. We do pray for those in our midst that are lost, and Lord, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and show them their need of Jesus Christ. And we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And so, Lord, we just commit this time to you today and we honor you with it. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and it's for his sake. Amen. Be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As we look into this passage today, I've chosen to deal with it by just offering up some questions. And so the first question I would rise up, which is really just a word with a question mark, who? Who? Well, as we think about who should be a witness, let's concern ourselves, first of all, what is a witness? The word in the text for the word witness means a judicial witness. That's what the word means from the Greek. In the New Testament, it can certainly be translated in a broader effect than just a judicial witness, but it is someone who is a witness or someone who is gives testimony or a testifier. And so we see here this matter of being a witness. I kind of like the idea of that judicial aspect of it. And if you've ever had to give testimony in a court trial or given a deposition like I had to give, and well, you just understand the importance of it all. And you just want to be truthful. You just want to tell what happened. And you do pray that justice is served. The word witness is that very idea, to be a witness. And he says that you shall be witnesses. And so a witness then must have something to testify to. Every now and then we'll hear in our society where somebody comes out of the woodwork and says that they saw something and they really didn't. They're making it up. They want to get involved. They just have some sort of need to do that. And so they'll appear to the police department and say, I was a witness to that. Well, they weren't. They weren't anywhere in the vicinity. But they said that they were. If we're going to be a witness, if we're going to be someone who testifies, we need to be somebody that can testify to something. I saw that wreck that happened those years ago. You couldn't testify to that. You know why? Because you weren't there. You didn't see it. But I could. And so I became a witness because I had something to testify to. Secondly, I would submit unto you as a witness, we need to be willing to testify. Some people aren't willing. And I can understand the stress and the strain of that kind of a thing, especially if it involved the mob or some gangs or something like that, and you have to go down and if you testify, you know they're going to try to find out where you live and that kind of a deal. You say it doesn't happen. Oh, it happens all the time. And so it might be scary to be a witness. But, if we're going to be a witness, we have to have something to witness to, and we must be willing to testify. And then if we're going to testify, if we're going to be a witness, what do we need to do? Just simply tell the truth. Just share what you know. And so we look in the text, and it talks about witness. That's the idea of the word and what it means. And, well, who should be a witness? Well, he says, ye shall be witnesses. Who shall be? Ye shall be. Who's the ye? Well, look down into verse 13. I submit unto you, he's talking about the infant church. In verse 13, we have a list of these individuals that were with him. They saw him ascend up into heaven. And it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These guys were with Jesus out on the mountain. They ascended up into heaven. He told them, he said, you'll be witnesses, all 11 of you. I think he's talking about the infant church. And not only was it including the 11 apostles that yet remained, but it would certainly include those who were members of that early church. And you'll find in the next verses there, verse 14, verse 15, Acts chapter 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And he continues his speech. We're not interested in that. The idea is, I think this message that Jesus gives, you shall be witnesses, referred to the infant church. You'll be witnesses unto me, just not these 11 guys, but the other people that were there. You will be witnesses. Now, of course, when we think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that Grace Memorial Baptist Church is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church in this location. Now, he gave us a commission, and he says, you shall be witnesses. Well, of course, a church then is made up of members. A church is made up of individuals. And so it's not the idea that these 11 are going to just hold hands and the other 100 are going to get together and hold hands and they're just going to go as one big group and just flock around and go try to tell somebody and 100 against one and they'll maybe be sure to get a conversion that way or something like that. It's not that at all. We talk about Grace Memorial Baptist Church ought to be a witness. We don't do it as a group like that, do we? But this church is made up of individuals. And so we as individuals can be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the intent of which he offers unto them. You shall be witnesses. It's given to the church, but the church is made up of members, and you need to go out and you need to speak. Now, I mentioned the commission, didn't I? That's found over in the book of Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 19 and verse 20, Jesus had spoken to his disciples, his apostles, and he said in verse 19, Matthew 28, go ye therefore, this is a command, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You preach that they might be saved. Teach all nations, those that are saved then, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is called the Great Commission. That Great Commission was given to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the generic sense, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our obligation to fulfill that commission. We are to go into all the world, we are to preach, and we are to baptize those that have been saved, and then we are to teach and to train those who have been saved. We have been commissioned. Jesus tells them before he ascends up, he says, "You shall be witnesses." We are commissioned to do that. In Mark 16, 15, it says, "Go into all the world." Into all the world. Now if you look over into the book of Acts chapter 8, this was indeed fulfilled by the disciples. You'll find that we read in the text and we see that they are to be witnesses in Jerusalem and so forth. And the truth is, they didn't really take that to heart too much. They kind of stuck around home and they really didn't really put that into action too much until after Stephen was stoned to death. Upon the death of Stephen and the persecution that came under Saul and all the other people that were against Christians, you'll find in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that they finally fulfilled that which Jesus had told them to do. Verse 4, it says, "Therefore they were scattered; they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So he says, "You shall be witnesses." Well, they were doing some witnessing around Jerusalem, but they didn't really branch out like they were supposed to. But after the persecution came, they went everywhere. And they preached the word. Then they were the kind of witnesses that Jesus had intended them to be. So you go back to Acts chapter 1, you look at verse 8, where our subject is, "Be a witness." Who? He says, "Ye shall be." Second question, for. For. Who are we going to be a witness for? And so you read in verse 8, "You shall be witnesses unto me." So Jesus tells them, "You'll be a witness," but for who for? For me. Not for some business. Not for some philosophy. Not for some elected official. You'll be witnesses unto me. We can testify about a lot of things. We can witness about a lot of things. But we're to witness for Jesus Christ, to speak about Him. Who is this one? Well, He's the risen Lord. Look back into verse 3, first chapter. "To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The risen Lord, that's the one who we should testify of. That's who the church should speak about, the risen Lord. But not just the risen Lord. Verse 9 tells us that He was the ascended Lord, Jesus. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight." So verse 3 told us that He was alive, He raised from the dead, and He was with them for 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, after He speaks these words we have in our passage, He ascends up into heaven. He went right up into glory. For, "You shall be witnesses for," or "unto me," Jesus said. And so if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What we learn is that God's people should be His ambassadors. And Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 20. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And the good news is we find that we are ambassadors. Ambassadors for who? The United States of America? No, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so we represent Him. And so Paul explains that in that verse. He says, God beseeches you through us, because we are in Christ's stead. He's in heaven, but we're on earth, and we need to testify unto Him. And we are ambassadors. And so, as you go back to Acts chapter 4, I remind you, for who? Who? It's we witness for Jesus' sake. We tell about Him. And so they shall testify of Him. That's what these disciples did, Acts chapter 4, in verse 18. And of course, the Jewish council and those people, they didn't really care for all the testimony that they were hearing around Jerusalem about Jesus and all that. And they kind of got upset with the apostles and all. But just pick it up there in verse 18 of Acts chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, the apostles were doing what they were supposed to do in Jerusalem. And the leaders didn't like that. And so they commanded them, you can't teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Seen and heard. What were they testifying of? Jesus Christ. He was crucified, buried, risen again. The things that he has taught them. They were big witnesses unto Jesus. And what were they talking about in relationship to Jesus? Well, I trust that you recall the description of the gospel that Paul offers to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 3 and verse 4 it says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What do you find? These guys that were witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about Him, they were disseminating the gospel. They were talking about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and how He can change their lives forever and cleanse them from their sin. That's what they were talking about. And of course, we realize, as the Apostle Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel. And so we look into Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. You will tell others about who I am, what I've accomplished, and you'll tell them about the gospel. Four. Third word comes to mind, where? Where? So we should be witnesses unto Christ, but where? Verse 8, the last part of the verse. You'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where. I express it this way. From the epicenter of Christianity outward. That's all it is. From Jerusalem out. Jerusalem was the epicenter of Christianity. And so you see these four words mentioned here. There are many ways of which they may be applied. I'm just going to apply it in this fashion and just kind of give you an expression. It's just a matter of going from there outward to all the world. But I look at it in these four ways, I guess, in our society. First of all, there's the local. Where do we be a witness? In our locality, the local, he says, in Jerusalem. And then there's the regional. And so he says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in the region round about. We understand regions. Any of you have been in business, you know you have a company, and then you have regions and that kind of a deal. And so here we have Jerusalem and then Judea, all Judea. So we have local, we have regional, and then I would submit unto you national. I know it doesn't exactly fit so much. It says in Samaria. Samaria was a part of old ancient Israel that had been taken over by the Assyrians, and it was kind of a mixed race of people and everything, but let's just take it from this way. You shall be witnesses in Memphis and in Tennessee and then across the United States of America. It's the idea, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And so it's local and it's regional and it's national. But then, of course, it's to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so it's global, isn't it? Global. And so Grace Memorial Baptist Church ought to be a witness to our Jerusalem and to our Judea and to our Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's just part of it. Where should we be witnesses? Well, we can just say it this way. Everywhere. Everywhere. To all sorts of men, by the way. Mark 16, 15, the last part of the verse says we preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation chapter 7. You're thinking, boy, that's an odd passage to go speak about witnessing. Ah, but I'm mentioning here the concept of we are to be a witness everywhere to all the world. And what we find in Revelation chapter 7 here is a discussion about end time things, of course. And what we have in the passage itself in the early part of chapter 7 is the separating of the 144,000. But down at the end of that, and I'm going to ask you to look at verse 9 and verse 10. After the 144,000 are sealed, there's a great multitude is seen, which is an expression of those who are saved. Listen to what you find in the passage. Revelation chapter 9, or 7 rather, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, and which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. These people represent the redeemed. And then where were they redeemed from? From all nations, from all kindreds and peoples and tongues. And so Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, but unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so they do this task, and this task has been accomplished. And when it's all said and done, people from everywhere, from all walks of life, from every skin color, you name it, my friend, there'll be people that are there that are saved. And they will give praise to the Lamb. You have it recorded in Revelation chapter 7. You have four statements or four nouns there declaring who these people are. From all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues. The word nations means a nation or a multitude or a people, but we get our word ethnic from it. From all ethnics, you shall be witnesses. The second word is kindreds. That word is the word for tribe. Of course, all these kind of can talk about nations and people, but the word tribe. And so we have ethnics, and then tribes, peoples, or that's a body of people or a multitude, of course, and so we have a group of individuals, and tongues. The word tongue, of course, is a word language, and it's a nation as defined by language. And what we simply find in this expression there in Revelation chapter 7, which is in other places in the Scripture, by the way, is that there'll be people saved from all walks of life, everywhere around the world, all kind of people groups, as the Southern Baptists like to say. All kinds of people groups, languages, ethnic backgrounds, you name it, people will be saved in. You know why? Because that's who Jesus wants us to be a witness to. That's where we should go. And we should not be limiting that. We should not say, well, I'm going to talk to my own race, or I'm going to talk to this kind of a people, and that's all I deal with. We should be a witness to everyone. And of course, there are places we cannot go, so what do? We send missionaries to those places. And my, what an opportunity it is for a church to fulfill the gospel by helping others go where we cannot go. Where? Where? Well, Jerusalem to the ends of the world. Look back into the passage, Acts chapter 1. The next question I raise is how? How will we be witnesses? Well, he says at the beginning of verse 8, you shall receive power. The word power comes from the word in the original language, which we get our word dynamite from, but it's the idea of having power or ability or strength. How are you going to be a witness? You need God's power to do it. Now, you can go witness on your own if you want, and you can go in your own power if you wish, but it's usually not very helpful, very fruitful, or very practical at all. We need power. And he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. When? After you receive power, specifically the power of the Holy Ghost. And so if you want to fulfill this commission as a member of Grace Memorial Baptist Church, you want to say, God, as I talk to these people that I work with, or as I talk to my family members, as I talk to my neighbors, as I go to, and I meet strangers in the marketplace or wherever it might be, you're on vacation, and you have an opportunity to witness, you need to say, God, I need your power. I need your spirit to speak through me, to work on their heart, to take the words, and give me the words to say. Help me to remember the verses. God, it's by your power. And that's how this witnessing shall be done. But I also would like to remind you that not only will we have that power with the matter of the like dynamite or the power to accomplish such a thing, but we are all, not only just empowered, but we're also authorized. We have the right, we have the privilege, the authority to tell others about Jesus Christ. Back in Matthew chapter 28, don't turn over there, but in 19 and 20, we gave the Great Commission. But in verse 18, Jesus said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." That word power in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, is the word that means authority or privilege or ability. And what it is Jesus tells his disciples, giving the marching orders to the church, and he says, "I have the authority, and I'm giving you the authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We have the, somebody will go, "Well, what right have you to tell me that I'm lost and going to hell and I need a Savior?" I have every right because God gave us the right to do that. We shall be witnesses unto him. And we shall do so by power, but also with authority. What an encouragement that is. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the next question is, why? You say, "Well, why? Why should I be a witness?" Well, very simply, Jesus has commanded us to do so. In the Great Commission, those are commands. They're not suggestions. They're not, well, you can consider it if you wish. We are commanded. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is commanded to preach the gospel and then to baptize the converts and to teach them and train them. Jesus has commanded us to be witnesses. But you look into our verse, I think he also expects us to. You see, he says, "But ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." That word "shall be" is just a simply the Greek word for the action verb. It is to be, but it's in the future. And he says, after you receive power, you will be. He expects it. Christ has commanded us to be witnesses. He expects us to be witnesses. But then if you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I would remind you that God has chosen the means to save the lost. Aren't there people whom Jesus will save? Yes, there are. Now, what means which will he use to save those people? Will he come down in a vision and save them? He could, but he doesn't. He did for the Apostle Paul, but he's the only one that I know of. There's many ways that God could do something, but why has God chosen to save the lost? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 21. Paul writes and he says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but notice, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen to use witnesses, people to testify. That's his chosen means for redeeming his people. That's what he said he would do. So go back a few pages to the book of Romans chapter 10. You say, "Why should I testify?" Well, not only he's commanded us, not only does he expect it of us, but that's how he saves people. That's how he saved you. Somebody told you. Somebody gave you a tract. You heard preaching or something. Somebody got to you. Aren't you glad? God uses means, and he uses the means of people to reach other people. Romans chapter 10, we were reminded of this passage in verse 14. And we know verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Somebody needs to get to them with the gospel. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Then he digresses, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Not everybody hears. Not everybody will respond. Not everybody will be saved. But you need to tell. Why? Verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing." Hearing by the word of God. Why do we witness? Because that's what God has chosen to do, to use to save people. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must tell. We must share. Are you there in Romans? Let me submit unto you why we ought to be a witness, why we ought to testify. Go back to chapter 9, one page back. Romans chapter 9, simply because of our compassion for the lost. You've been saved. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been brought from death to life. You have a home in heaven now. You're not going to hell any longer. Do you have any compassion at all about those people that are in your family, your co-workers, your neighbors who are lost? Do you have any compassion at all that they're on their way to devil's hell? We ought to have a compassion for those who are lost. Paul had that compassion. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul says, I have such a compassion upon my fellow Jewish people that if I could go to hell, for them to go to heaven, I would. That's a compassion, isn't it? That's a burden. So you look into chapter 10, verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's it right there, isn't it? A compassion, a burden. Why? Why? Well, we should because He's commanded us to do so. He expects us to do so. That's His means of saving people. And simply because we have a passion or a compassion for the lost. In closing then, in conclusion, a few thoughts and we'll be done. Number one, as we think about these things and that which we've discussed, the churches of the Lord are to be lighthouses, aren't we? We need to be mission-minded, home and abroad, from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world. We need to be mission-minded. Churches ought to be lighthouses for the gospel. Secondly, it is our marching order. What is the purpose of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to go into all the world, and to preach the gospel, baptize the converts, and teach and train them. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's what we need to be doing. And of course, as we knit together as a church and we build and we grow, we want to edify the church and we want to do that work which God has commanded us to do. But the Great Commission is the marching orders of Grace Memorial Baptist Church. Then number three, as church members, we should be involved financially, personally, and by that I mean vocally and with tracts. I mean, you can be a witness, you can talk to people, but if you don't like talking to people, you can always hand them a piece of literature. Or you can leave a piece of literature. But we ought to be involved financially. I would encourage you to give to the mission fund, give that others may hear. But personally, that means vocally and with tracts, but then also conditionally. What do we mean by that, by being involved conditionally? We need to have the kind of behavior and the kind of conduct that corresponds to our testimony. It's very difficult to tell people about Jesus Christ if you're living an ungodly life. Because as you tell them about the Savior and what He's done for you and how He saved you, and they look at your life and they know how you talk and they know how you live and they know the kind of friends that you have and the kind of conduct that you produce day after day after day, and they're just going to look at you and go, doesn't mean anything to you, pal. We want to be witnesses. And we need to do so conditionally. Not just be giving a tract or speaking, but also conditionally. Live the life that would bear that out. And then I would submit unto you as church members, we should be involved prayerfully. Prayerfully. We need to pray that God would use us and use our church. Last thing is this, and we'll be finished. I remind you of our discussion today. Who is to be a witness? We are. Whom do we witness for? Jesus. Where should we be a witness? Everywhere. How shall we be a witness? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And why should we be a witness? Jesus has commanded it and He expects it. That's how God saves the lost people. And because we care about those who are lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. I pray that You just speak it to our hearts, that we would be reminded of this task. And we know it's not a simple task. It's not an easy thing to do. But Lord, by Your power, we can be the witnesses You'd have us to be. I pray that You'd bless not only our church, but all Your churches, that we would be mission-minded, we would fulfill the commission, and let us as individuals be a testimony in our daily lives, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, even to complete strangers when they're brought across our path. We pray that you just speak to our hearts. Help us to be witnesses as you desire for us to be. And I pray for those that are lost. Lord, I know they don't understand what's being said today. I know it makes no sense to them. But God, we pray that you would speak to their heart about Jesus. We pray that they might be saved, and then they too would be witnesses. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.